Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, or in this case, Talk to Me in the Coronavirus. While we are here on lockdown in most schools throughout the United States, I think all schools in 45 states except five are currently on closure, at least for a few weeks, some much longer than that. I'll be running daily podcasts in hopes to help you find ways to make meaning and make sense and make purpose and make schedules out of this uncharted, really unprecedented time in education. In this crazy time, it really helps to have an instructional coach right there by your side. And that's what I do. I work with teachers through all content areas to help them be better versions of their teacher selves. So whether you're English, math, science, history, world languages, whether you teach littles, middles, high schools, or you know, college level learners, I'm here to help. Because great teaching really does transcend any content area and any age level. And I do want you to see that in this time when our kids and our families and our classes are so, you know, upended, that there is some normalcy, there is some purpose, and there is some sense of clarity and the ability to kind of work through this together to say, hey, it's not always about the Great Gatsby, it's not always about trigonometry, it's not always about, you know, the Crimean War. It's about making students feel safe and supported, doing that Maslow stuff so that they know that there's an adult in their life who's rooting for them. And in offering our services to them, our support, our clarity, our consistency, hopefully our students can make their way through this a much stronger version of themselves than they have, even if our precious, precious pacing guides might have been upended or interrupted a little bit. So today I want to talk about what they call the Stockdale Paradox. We'll get to that in a second, but some housekeeping notes first. If you have never talked to me before, or this is your first podcast, thank you for tuning in. Usually during the non-corona time, we'll do one episode a week on Mondays. In the course of the coronavirus, these will be daily podcasts, and they have been for the past week or so. We'll continue to push these out indefinitely until we have some sort of clarity, some sort of closure on where this is. So I hope you and your families are certainly staying safe. But if you want to talk further, please comment on Twitter. I'm at Meehan, E-D-U. That's Meehan like my last name, and E-D-U like teaching. So M as a Mary, E-E-H-A-N as a Nancy. So two E's, and then EDU like teaching. I also have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. And Adrenaline Rush is spelled with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up to teach, and I'm fired up to learn, and I want to connect with anybody that I can who wants to do the same. I share my templates there, all these resources, a whole bunch of stuff, multimedia stuff. Please take it, steal it, use it, whatever you like. I have a book, and I'm not doing that because I want to sell you a book. I don't care if you need the book and you can't afford the book, just message me and I'll get you the book. But I do have a whole bunch of strategies that are designed for student engagement, and the book is called Adrenaline Rush. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, feel free to check that out on my website, and we can talk further when things return back to normal. But I want to talk about the Stockdale Paradox, because this is something for me in my own personal life, and today we might share some personal things too, I find really, really helpful in this time of difficulty, in this time of trial, in this time of unprecedented uncertainty. So many of our students are panicking, are freaking out, right? Whether it's because they don't know if there will be school ever again, if they don't know if they're going to see the prom, if they don't know if they're going to see their graduation, if they don't know they're going to see the end of their senior year or their return back to high school sports, or they're not going to have a chance to say goodbye to their teachers. Maybe some of their teachers are like, look, this was my last year. I'm retiring. I don't have a chance to formally send off. I don't have those retirement parties. I don't have a chance to, you know, shake hands with my colleagues one more time and, you know, give my retirement speech after however many years in the classroom. You know, there's an uncertainty to all this stuff. And I want to talk about this paradox, because in this moment of uncertainty, we also have to be simultaneously aware that with a deep breath, right, you can almost feel it there, the energy changes. We, some form of we, will get through this. It will not be easy, it will not be soon, but this is not a forever thing. This is a for now thing, and maybe for an indefinite now thing. But we as a people, as an education profession, we'll get through this, and ultimately, on the tail end, we can talk more about the tail end on the back side of this conversation, there will be 5 years worth of things that we will learn as a profession from the next 5 weeks outside of our classrooms, and I think that's important to kind of bear in mind. But before I get into, like, you know, what can come from this, what good can come from this, I want to talk quickly about the Stockdale Paradox. In the book Good to Great, which is an awesome leadership book, author Jim Collins wrote this book, Good to Great. And it's about leadership. It's about companies. The subheading was why some companies make the leap and others don't. And what Jim does is he does like case studies of all these different companies and finds out why some outperform the market average over 10 years and others flatline in the exact same industry, trying to see if there's any common variables or common denominators between how high success companies and low success companies do their jobs, because they do the same thing, right? Like Gillette and Schick both sell razors, Bic sells razors, right? So why does one of those things do really, really well and the other ones only kind of, you know, peter out or stay in the middle? He also talks about like companies like, Circuit City or Best Buy, you know, like one of those companies did really, really well and the other one just sort of, but they sell the same stuff and objectively they sell them for about the same price. So how is it that one is able to thrive outside of the market and the other is able to, you know, kind of just be middle of the pack and then fall away over time? And what Collins has found, or he argues, is that it's not any one great idea that turns a company from mediocre to awesome. Rather, it's what he calls a flywheel effect, and that's the idea of sustained pressure over time, slowly but surely, push, like you would see like a windmill or a flywheel or a pinwheel, right? Push, slowly, just a little bit of pressure here, a little bit of pressure here. Sustained pressure over time, eventually, though it's really hard to get those first turns of that flywheel or that pinwheel or that windmill, that first pressure is slow and the movement is slow. But gradually over time, if you have a giant spinning, you know, your ceiling fan, I'm standing underneath mine right now, you take your hand to start pushing it. You shouldn't really push it when it's off, but after a while, you don't have to push nearly as hard or nearly as frequently because the fan's momentum starts to spin. So by the end, if you have a fan that's going, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, you don't even really have to tap it. In fact, a little tap will keep it spinning just as fast or not, if not faster, than you would even possibly need. And that's how that flywheel effect works. So in Collins' book about good to great, he says what companies do to make that turn from good to great is they don't try to hit everything as a home run. They don't want to hit that, you know, million-dollar idea right out of the gate and say, this will be the thing that turns our company's fortunes around. Because easy come, easy go. And just as fast as you become successful, you also find your success evaporating when the next new kid on the block shows up. But what Collins finds is that people who are in these positions share a leadership trait. And he names it after a guy named James Stockdale. You may remember that Stockdale was actually the running mate of Ross Perot back when we had the third party election. I was in the fourth grade. I think that was probably put me in, aging myself. Was that 92 or 96? I think it was something, maybe 92. And Stockdale was the vice presidential nominee for Perot's campaign as a third party candidate there. Stockdale famously before then was a POW in Vietnam. He was also an admiral. But in his time as a prisoner of war, he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, and he was something of a stoic kind of guy. He said that he made his way through the POW camps because he was able to maintain this stoic awareness of the brutal facts of the reality, while at the same time having this unwavering faith that he would prevail in spite of those facts. Interestingly, when interviewed about this, Stockdale said people who wanted a quick fix found themselves immediately depressed. And I want to talk about this Stockdale paradox because his quote is really beautiful. In Good to Great, he writes, or he's interviewed, and Jim Collins writes, quote, "I never lost faith in the end of my story. I never doubted. Not only would I get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining moment of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." He says, ironically, that the POWs that didn't make it out were the ones who were optimists. You know, so he's asked, hey, what about the soldiers who didn't get out? Who died in the POW camps? Because you had the same pressures as those around you. He goes, oh, that's easy. It was the optimist. Oh, they were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas. But then when Christmas would come and Christmas would go, they'd say, well, we'll be out by Easter. And then Easter would come and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving, and then it'd be Christmas all over again. And he said, and they would die of a broken heart. Now, that might be a little bit poetic. That may be a little bit overstated. But Stockdale's point, which he kind of sums up in his mantra, is he says, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality whatever they may be. And right now, as education professionals, I think this is a really important thing to think about. This is not a good situation. Realistically, and we have to be very brutally honest here, many thousands, if not more, of Americans and American families will be affected or infected by this virus. That is a real talk. That is where we are. It doesn't feel good to say those things. My own family members, we're having family members already in this moment of, hey, so-and-so's feeling under the weather, so-and-so's been admitted to the hospital, so-and-so's under quarantine, we got to take a look, we don't know, the tests are out. That's real. Also, those so-and-so's I'm mentioning might be in their 60s and in their 70s, and that is even less an appealing conversation to even be thinking about. On top of that, when we're reading all these stories, these horror stories about people who are dying of the coronavirus, people who are being infected, families can't see one another because you can't have a wedding, you can't have a funeral, you can't have people get together and do a public gathering of more than two or three people, right? So God forbid someone in our own family was to pass. Like, that's the type of thing where you'd have to take that person and delay any final arrangements because we can't do that in a time where we can't do this. And that's a scary thing. You know, I've had friends and I've had loved ones who had to say, we're going to cancel our wedding in the next couple of months because everything right now is up in the air. And that's a really, really scary thing. Never being able to celebrate those great moments in life and never being able to say goodbye to people in a way that you can just have closure. It's very, very scary. And that's the bad stuff. That's the bad stuff. We have to own that. And if this Voxer chat has 20 or 30 people on it and the statistics are true, that one in three families or persons may be infected by the coronavirus, that between us here on this pod or this this recording, maybe 5 or 10 people who are listening will find themselves or ourselves infected. And that's a very sobering, very scary thing. The same holds true for our students. If we have 20 or 30 students in our classroom, that could mean 7 or 8 students might find themselves infected by this virus if this curve doesn't flatten. And even if you take that number and you say, well, that's the risky prognostication. Let's go the other way with it and say, well, okay, maybe 1 in 6 or 1 in 9. You still have 2 or 3 kids in your class who are infected by this. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever taught students who have cancer, right? Students who are receiving chemotherapy treatment, that's a heartbreaking thing. It's a very scary thing for a child to have to go through that. And even though the cancer treatment is a much longer life cycle than something like a coronavirus, which is very quick, just to see children suffering is a very sobering, very sad, very scary thing. And when I have students who are receiving chemotherapy, of course you have to talk about modified timelines, modified deadlines, alternative assessments. You have to, because they're doing a bigger fight every day than like the main character in chapter 4 of whatever book you could think to teach them. And so for those reasons, I think that's really important to say, these are our sobering realities we have to keep in mind. But the Stockdale paradox, which I think is really, really good, and we have to say it, is that he says, we have to confront the most brutal facts of our current reality, whatever they may be, but at the same time, retain the faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of difficulties. And I think if I repeat that again, it might be of value for people who may not have heard the Stockdale paradox before today's conversation. Again, Collins' book says, people make that flywheel effect, that gradual change over time, end up moving from good to great. And as Stockdale outlines it, retain the faith that you will prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties, but simultaneously confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. We sort of dwell on the bad stuff. This is bad. It's not good. People will die. People will get sick. People will be separated from families. Our curriculums, our pacing guides will be thrown out the window. Students will have to matriculate into Algebra 2 without any full understanding of Algebra 1. Teachers will not have a chance to say goodbye to some of their students, and people may not have a chance to physically say goodbye to other people in their lives in very real ways, in very scary ways, in very humbling ways. That's real talk. This is going to cost millions of dollars, if not more, and it is an unprecedented interruption in the lives and the social emotional development of the people in our buildings. That's true. All of that stuff is simultaneously true. At the same time, we maintain faith that some version of an education system will emerge from this. And it has to be a stronger and more prepared one with a collective memory and awareness of all of the things that we've encountered through this that we say, that can't fly. We need to fix that. We need to change that. That can never be allowed to happen again. So that if there is another interruption, well, whether that's a hurricane or a snowstorm or a delay for construction or a radon leak or a bomb threat, whatever it is, God forbid any of those things were to come up. You know, another pandemic. We as an education profession are wiser, are kinder, are more prepared, and more empathetic as a direct result of everything that we have seen now. And the students under our care are likewise wiser, kinder, more empathetic, and aware that we're all in this together. And that ultimately means whether we come back in 2 weeks, 2 months, or in August or September, the people in that room need to build a better mousetrap, so to speak, to really change a lot of the things that we've been thinking and doing. And that involves social-emotional development. That involves one-size-fits-all testing. That involves gotcha tests. And that involves teaching to mastery. That involves homework that can be easily copied, or essays that are outdated, or curriculum that's arbitrary. And the fact that different students learn in different ways on different days, and we have to respect those things like at-home internet access and equity. All of these things will make us a better, more empathetic, more prepared profession going forward. But it's going to suck. And we have to embrace the suck for a little bit, because embracing the suck, unfortunately, is really the only option we have in this immediate future. Reaching out to your kids, reaching out to your classes, reaching out to your colleagues and saying, hey, it sucks, but I'm here with you. And if you want to talk, like I said at the start of the podcast, like, let's message, let's keep going, because we're still people, we're still going through it, we're still learning together. And I know this is scary and uncharted for a lot of you, so anything I can do to help, you know, we're all in. Anyways, that's the thought for today's podcast. If you like what you're hearing, there'll be new episodes every day. This week, I really just wanted to kind of talk big picture stuff and some ideas and philosophy that is helping me to get through it while I help other teachers in my school who reached out to me, and other schools I've worked with, that I've traveled to and spoken at, presented at, and consulted with. Like, I want to be able to give as much of my content as I can away for free, because for many of us, we are building the plane as we fly it. So anything we can do to kind of know that there are other people helping us with that build, really, really helpful. Thank you guys again for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or subscribe. It does help people find the podcast, which is awesome. There'll be another episode tomorrow. And stay strong, keep the faith. And if you need to talk, message me. Let's do what we can.